my King.
My blessed King.
All right, the church say amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much for that song. All right. He's my King. I don't know about y'all.
Yep.
But just as David had said, the Lord is my shepherd. Okay, this song says, He is my King. That's personal. If the Lord is your King, okay, and He is coming back to save you, that is what we all hope, that is what we all believe. And I believe if we are all faithful, He will take us home when He comes back. Okay,
amen.
That's the real home. Amen. All right, while you're alive, the safest place for you to ever be is at home. That's the safest place for anyone to ever be, okay? But when Jesus comes back, we are going to our real home, all right? A real home. You don't have to pay no mortgage. You don't have to pay no bills. You ain't got to worry about all kind of stuff. And mansion. And I can't even think about it. And my Father's house, their mansion's inside the house. That's pretty crazy. All right, but we got to do some work to get there.
I need my Bible. It's not my Bible, I promise.
We got to do some work to get there. And we just read about in our Bible study about the only thing that the children of Israel had to do was to trust in God and Moses and walk. That's all they had to do. Okay, but the people had asked God, if they could go out and spy out the land to see what it was like. So today we're going to talk about what went wrong with them spying out the land. All right. But the moral of this, what we're going to get to here is they went wrong. That's what really went wrong. Their hearts went wrong. All right. We're going to read about that. Let's go to Numbers chapter 13. Okay? That's what it really comes down to. They went wrong instead of what went wrong. A lot of things changed from them leaving Egypt to this point. Alright? A lot of things changed when they get to this, from Egypt to they get to this point. And I'm just going to read a couple passages here. Before we get to Numbers, stay in Numbers, don't leave. So, but I'm going to give you these scriptures as we get there. All right, Isaiah chapter 33 and verse number 6. All right, the Bible says, "And the wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times, and the strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure." All right, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. The Bible says, "For wherever your treasure is, there will be your heart also." So we're going to really find out where Israel's treasure really is. Is it really in God? Or is it really in themselves? All right? But Numbers chapter 13, I'm going to start at verse 1. "The Lord said to Moses, send men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. From the ancestral tribe, send one of its leaders, so that the Lord's command, Moses sent them out from the desert to Paran, and all of them were leaders of the Israelites." Okay, and, you know, I'm not going to go through all the names. It was 12 of them, okay? That's important. There were 12. I'm not going to go through all the names. I'm going to go down to verse 16. Verse 16 says, "These were the names of the men Moses sent to explore the land. Moses gave Hoshea, the son of Nun, and the name of Joshua. When Moses sent them to explore Canaan, he said, go up to Negev and into the hill country, see what the land is and like, whether the people who live there are strong or weak, few or many. What kind of land they live in? Is it good or bad? What kind of towns they live in? Are they unwalled or fortified? How is the soil, fertile or poor? Are the trees on it or not? Do your best to bring back some fruit of the land. It was the season of the first ripe grapes. For they went up and explored the land of the desert of Zin, and as far as Rehob, towards Lebo, Lamath. They went up through the Negev and came to Hebron, where Ahiman and Sheshai and Talmai, descendants of Anak, live. These were the big, tall people. And Hebron and had been built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. When they reached the valley of Eshtol, they cut off the branch bearing a single cluster of the grapes. Two men carried on a pole between them, and with some pomegranates and figs. That place was called the Valley of Eshtol because of the cluster of grapes Israel cut off there. At the end of 40 days, they returned from exploring the land. Alright, so they saw a whole lot. They were there for 40 days. This is long enough to bring back a credible report of what they saw in the land. Everything I just read to y'all was very, very good. I didn't read about no bad stuff here. Everything, that means that everything was big and ripe. Everything was beautiful. As you would think, this is the land that God said was flowing with milk and honey. It was going to be a beautiful land, and God was going to drive them out. All right? Now, here we go. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. They reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave it to Moses. They gave Moses this account. We went to the land which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is the fruit, and it must have been huge. Okay? But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and are very large. We saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites live in the hill of the country, and the Canaanites near the sea among the Jordan. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." So Caleb was optimistic. Caleb's like, "We can do this." But the men who had gone up with them said, "We can't attack those people." In the King James, it would say, "We be not able." Doesn't that say in the King James? "We be not able." So what they're really trying to say is, God isn't able. They're not saying we be not able. God isn't able because we don't have the faith in God we need to conquer the land. But we're going to read about some stuff before that. Before they lost hope and doubt and all that stuff that they thought they believed in. When you really see what's up, people's minds change. "Oh yeah, I'll be with you to this and to that." As soon as adversity hit, what do I believe now? Okay? "I will never leave you, never forsake you. I'll be with you to the day I die." As soon as adversity hit, let's see what your trust and faith in with you then. Okay? Let's see what's going to happen then. This one God really tests you. This is when he really wants to see if you're really down. This is what he really trying to see if you really trust him. He's really trying. He allowed them to go. Look at the report they're giving. All right? And we can't attack those people that are stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, "The land that we explored devours those living in it. And all the people we saw are great size." Okay? "All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw Nephilim there. Descendants of Anak came to Nephilim. And we saw they're like grasshoppers in our eyes. And we looked the same. And we looked the same to them." We look like grasshoppers in our eyes. But they forgot. They forgot that God had said that those people were giants. God had said that they are mightier than you are. But guess what? I am mightier than them. They forgot the good report of what God was already was going to do for them before they even got there. Now, You're talking about a God that parted the Red Sea. You talk about the God that overthrew the most powerful human on earth at the time, and that was Pharaoh. You're talking about the God that overthrew him. And y'all walked on dry land, on walls of water, walked on dry land across that. But that wasn't enough. When they get here, and this was the land that was, this is what they worked for the whole time. They worked for this. This was the climax of their walk. All they had to do was walk to get here, to spy out the land they were supposed to go and conquer. This was it. This was the end of the line. Why get all the way to the end to bring a bad report? This is why. You really didn't trust God. You didn't trust God since the calf. Your faith in God dwindled since then. Now you think God's trying to play you. Because you finally meet, you go there and you're looking at the physical thing instead of the spiritual thing. Their eyes are not on God or on Moses, okay? Now, this is what went wrong. All right, Moses, they scared and demoralized the people. That's what went wrong first. They scared and demoralized the people. 39 years later, Moses himself said, the same to their children as they were about to enter the promised land. You will become the conquer nations that are greater and more powerful than you, with great cities fortified to the skies. They are a great nation, tall as giants. Okay, so let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 9. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 9. We're going to read verses 1 through 3. All right, it says right here, Deuteronomy chapter 9, 1 through 3. Hear, O Israel, you are now about to cross the Jordan to dispose nations greater and stronger than you, with large cities that have walled up to the sky. The people are strong and tall, the Anakites. Okay, you know about them. You have heard it said, who can stand up against the Anakites? But be assured today that the Lord, your God of hosts, who goes across ahead of you like a devoured fire, he will destroy them and will subdue them before you. You will drive them out and annihilate them quickly as the Lord has promised you. He was going to do that then. There are only two people out of everyone, out of all the 12 spies they sent, it was only two people who gave a sure report. And they didn't look at how big they were. They knew how strong God was. Why is it there's only good in a few? Why is it there's only good in a few? Why is that? Now, I've been working for about, I don't know, over 10 years, about 13, 14 years. I've been in a 15, maybe 15 years, in the work field. Out of all the people I work with, I can put them all on my hand, five people, maybe. The whole time, I would consider people that I can respect, trust, love, all that stuff. Now, I probably love them all, but I'm talking about respect, trust, all that stuff. About maybe five of them. Look at all the people that were in the camp of Israel. Look how many of them were actually faithful. Look at the hundreds of thousands of people that were in the camp of Israel. They were older than 20 that actually made it to the promised land. Two. Out of all those people, only two of them that were older than 20 made it. All the other ones died right there because they believed the reports of those evil men who gave their report to Moses and to the rest of the people. All the rest of them died. Just imagine that. All right? They doubted God's power. Their very mission implied doubt in the value of God's gift and God's ability to deliver it. They may have, God said, send for yourselves. Okay, the meaning I'm commanding you, but if you wish, You may sin. Indeed, the people had come to Moses asking for that. Okay? In Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 22, it says that God allowed them to go out and spy out the land. Verse 22 says, "Then all of you came to me and said, 'Let us send men ahead to spy out the land for us to bring back a report about the route we are to take and the towns we come to.'" All right? They doubted God's power. This is number three. They thought God may have changed his mind. The spies reasoned that since Israel had sinned with the golden calf and in many places, God may not honor the promise of the promised land. They may have asked themselves, why is God treating us like royalty? We're not deserving of it. All right? Because of their sense of unworthiness, the Jewish people may not have fully trusted in God. They may not. But guess what happened every time they got hungry? What'd they do? They call on Moses and say, "Can you please give us something to eat?" And one time they gave him so much to eat, they got sick. He gave him so much to eat. Nothing was ever good enough. How many times have God put you through? How many times? How many times has God saved you? I can't count. He saved me so many times I can't count. Out of bad situations I put myself in. Out of bad choices I made. Bad things I did, and he did not take me out. Why? Is God trying to play me? Is there anything else going on? The real truth is, I didn't trust myself. I didn't really believe the way I thought I believed. I really messed up. And I needed to admit that. But you see how stubborn the children of Israel was? It wasn't until after they had doubted God and they had said, if only we had died in Egypt. But we're in this desert to die. And with Moses, we got no one to trust. And they wanted to go back. And even at one time, they even threatened Moses. They said, "Let's make us a captain and let's go back to Egypt. For it's better for us to die in Egypt to die in this wilderness with this manna." That's what they're at. They wanted to go back to a place that did nothing but treat them like dirt. They'd rather do that. I'm just letting y'all know. All right? They did not do a thorough job. This is number four. Moses tasked the spies. Find out if the people inhabit the land are strong or weak. This implies physically and morally. They did not report, or they didn't even want to find that out. All right? For 40 years later, Rahab and Jericho tells the spies sent by Joshua that they feared the Jews. They feared the Jews way back then. At the time you read about this in Numbers 13, they already feared the Jews. It wasn't that the Anakites were so huge that was their power. They feared God because of what he did at the Red Sea. They feared the plagues. All that stuff went everywhere. You think newspapers started? When they started writing paper and stuff, word got out way different ways. People still had horses they rode on to send words out. That word got out to everybody. Everybody knew how powerful God was. They all knew about it. They knew about the children of Israel. They were scared of them. But look at them. They scared of them. They scared the Amalekites, and the Anakites are scared of Israel because of God. You see their mindset? The Amalekites feared God the way that Israel should have feared God. They didn't fear God. That's why they didn't trust God, because they didn't fear him. That makes sense? You got to have a little bit of fear to keep the trust.
Respect.
The respect. Not that, I'm scared of God. No. It's that I know God can do all things, so I need to do everything I can to trust that. But no, they let themselves down. In Joshua chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, the Bible says, "I know the Lord has given you the land, and that a great fear of you has fallen upon us. All the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. As soon as we heard of the miracles God performed for you, our hearts melted. No courage remained in any man because of you. It doesn't matter how tall they were, they knew God was taller. They saw the fire by night and the whirlwind by day. They saw that. That's a miracle they were walking in every single day. They knew of the plagues. They knew that stuff was miracles. No one was going to overthrow Pharaoh. No one even thought about it. And they did it. So there's no way we're going to... They probably just would have gave up and ran away. But guess what they're doing? Israel's trying to run away. I'm telling y'all today. Don't run away from what you know is right. Don't run away from what you know is right. It is hard to stay. But you regret it if you don't. And that's harder to bear. That's harder to bear. Now, let's go back a little bit. Let's go to Exodus chapter 15. Watch this. Exodus 15. Alright, verse 15 and 16. Watch what it says. Watch what it says. Alright. Watch what it says. This is the song they sang with Moses and with Miriam when they left Egypt. They singing this song. They're so happy. They know what God just did, and they are praising God for it. They had this song right here. Alright? Verse 11. I'm going to start at verse 11 and read down to verse 16. Who among us is who among the gods is like you, O Lord? Who is like you? Majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders. You stress out your right hand, and the earth swallowed them. And in your infilling love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your truth, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. The nations will hear and tremble. Anguish will grip to the people of Philistia. The chiefs of Edom will be terrified. The leaders of Moab will be seized and trembling. And the people of Canaan will melt away. Terror and dread will fall upon them. By the power of your arm, they will be as still as stone until your people pass by, O Lord. They believed that when they left Egypt. Look at what they believe now. Be careful what you believe. Be careful. They believed that right there. When they left Egypt, they had all faith and glory in God. It wasn't until they started making mistakes and when they started doubting God. This is what it is. All right? This is very important. They were not allowed to make mistakes in Egypt. When they made mistakes in Egypt, they got punished for it. So that muscle memory stayed within them. They didn't know how to obey a God that will still love them after they made mistakes. They did not know how to accept that. It is hard to accept someone who continues to love you over and over and over after you keep making mistake after mistake after mistake. After a while, you're going to begin to believe that this person is in it for me at some time. They're going to come and get me bad at one point because they keep forgiving me. Why are they doing that? There's got to be something. There's got to be a motive of why they're doing it. How about because God made a promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that they're going to go to a land that I'm going to show them? How about I'm fulfilling a promise and I'm not going to let any of y'all stop me from doing that? How about it doesn't matter how bad you treat me, it's not going to stop my love I have for you, no matter how bad you get. How about that? Well, I'm not deserving of that. Nobody is. It doesn't matter how observant you are, how deserving you are of it. All the thing that matters is if you trust me enough for me to bless you like that. Why can't you trust me enough to do something for you? You're going to make mistakes. I made you. I know. I know you're going to make mistakes, but what's the whole point? The whole point is, how can I put this? It's to grow while you struggle. A struggling faith is a growing faith. God can work with that. He can work with that. But if you don't even try, what does he have to work with? They gave up. They gave up. All right. Now, here's the next one. They reported to all the people. They reported to the wrong people. They reported to everybody. You cannot say everything to everybody. There's some things you can only say to some people. I hope you, if you don't get that today. You cannot say everything to everybody. Okay? Now, the spies were supposed to report to the leaders. They reported to all the people. Why is that? Alright? Why is that? Now, this is what they did. The spies began with the truth, saying, yes, it is a land flowing with milk and honey. Okay? They gave the true report in the beginning, and then they spoke ill will. The spies began with a true report and then spoke ill, because any piece of slander needs to have some truth in it in the beginning. So you'll hear it all the way to the end. That's how a lie works. Every lie has to have a hint of truth in it. If not, you wouldn't listen. That's how a lie works. Every lie has to have a hint of truth. So what am I really saying? Even though there's only a good and a few, you need to be one of the few. You need to be like Caleb and Joshua. They gave a good report and said that we are able. Caleb silenced the people and said before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. That's how you need to be. I need to stay faithful for myself and for my family, so that way I can be a good example, and so God can say, well done, my good and faithful servant. After they believed the evil report, God was displeased with them. And guess what Caleb and Joshua did? They rent their clothes because they believed the report of the evil people. It was 10-2. They believed them. And because of that, God was very displeased. And he said, your rotten carcasses are going to die in this desert. Since you spent 40 days in the land, you will spend 40 years wandering the desert. Every day for a year. Because you believed that. When I already had told you that where you was going to go. I told you where you're going to go. And I told you what I was going to do. Because of your doubt in me, now you're going to have 40 years of doubt. And there's nothing you can do to change it. And God did not change it. They were circling the block for 40 years. Something they should have took 40 days to get into the land. They could immediately went straight to the land. But guess what? They chose to believe that over God. Alright? And that's how it is a lot of churches today. That's how it is a lot of churches today. Two of them gave a credible report. The rest of them, the majority, the other ten gave an evil report. But this is what we're really after. Let's go to Revelation chapter 21. This is what we're really after. This is what it's all about. This is what it's all about. He says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from heaven, from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling God is with man, and he will live with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them, be their God. I will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning, crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who is seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. He said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him that is thirsty, I will give him drink with the cost for the spring of the waters of life. He who overcomes will inherit all of this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the cowardly and the unbelieving and the vile and the murderers and the sexually immoral, those who practice majestic arts and idolaters and all liars will have their place in the fiery lake of the burning sulfur. This is the second death. This is something God doesn't want anyone to experience. But God has to tell the truth. God cannot go against himself. Now I'm going to read these two verses here. I mean these two passages here. Now watch this. You can follow along if you want. But this is, I'm rounding home. In Exodus chapter 32. Alright. Exodus 32. Verses 27 to 28. The Bible says. This is after. Alright. This is during the golden calf. This is when they were building the golden calf. He said to them, this is what the Lord says. The Lord God of Israel says, each man strap a sword to his side, go back and forth the camp, one end to each other, killing his brother and his friend and his neighbor. The Levites did as Moses commanded. And that day, about 3,000 people died. Then Moses said, you have been set apart to the Lord today, for you were against your own sons and brothers, and he has blessed you this day. Now that day, about 3,000 souls die. Now let's go to Acts chapter 2, verse 40. Watch what the Bible says. With other words, he warned and he pleaded with them, save yourself from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted the message and were baptized, about 3,000 souls were added to the number that day. They were set aside for God. Just like it was in Exodus, 3,000 people died that day. 3,000 people died because they chose the golden calf over Moses and Aaron and doing what was right. They died that day. Okay, but out of the hundreds of thousands, okay, 3,000 of them died that day. Now look at all the people that were there at Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. I don't know how many, but it probably was maybe in the millions. I don't know. But of all those people, only about 3,000 of them were saved that day. You can be one of them today. Do not be, okay? Do not be like those 10 that reported an evil report because of their unbelief and doubt in themselves and to God. When they said, we are not able to conquer them, what they're really saying is, God is not able because I don't believe God. Do not have that attitude. Do not be like that. You need to trust in God. You need to believe in God. Before you can do all that, you need to hear God's word. So then faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And then you must believe it. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And then you must repent. God is not slack in his promise, as though man count slackness, but he is long-suffering to us, not that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. God wants to change your heart. He wants to change your mind, but you have to do that. You have to want to do that. You have to want to do that. That's the only way that works. And then you must confess. All right? Him that confesses me before I will confess him before my Father in heaven. But if you deny me before men, I will also deny you before my Father in heaven. You cannot be ashamed to bear the name Christ. You cannot be ashamed to say that I am a Christian. You cannot be ashamed to say that I believe that the Son of God died on my behalf. You cannot be ashamed of that. And then you must be baptized. All right. Then they said to Peter and the rest of the disciples, what must we do? And then he said, be baptized, repent and be baptized, all of you. for the remission of sins, and I will give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. Everyone in here must be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit in order to receive that gift. This is what everyone has to do. This is the only way I can read the New Testament how anyone was saved. Alright? Even in the Old Testament, you still had to believe in God. You still had to trust in Him. Alright? You still had to do that. That did not diminish. It always relied on faith. From beginning to the end, it always relied on faith. Abraham had faith in God. Alright? You have to have faith in God. Does anyone here today want to put Christ on in baptism? You can do that right now. We stand and sing with Savior's invitation song.
Standing on the